Hello and welcome to SEO is Not That Hard. I'm your host, Ed Dawson, the founder of KeywordsPeopleUse.com, the place to find and organize the questions people ask online. I'm an SEO, developer, affiliate marketer and entrepreneur. I've been building and monetizing websites for over 20 years and I've bought and sold a few along the way. I'm here to share with you the SEO knowledge, hints and tips I've built up over the years. Hello, welcome to episode 96 of SEO is Not That Hard. And today I'm going to be talking about cloaking. This is not something you might hear talked about by a lot of mainstream SEOs because essentially it's a black hat technique. Now, I am not telling you this in any way suggesting that you do it. It's interesting in terms of learning how certain black hat techniques work because I think any rounded SEO needs to know what to look out for if they come across this kind of behavior. Or if you are dealing with someone who is suggesting that you do something and you need to know whether it is black hat or not. And anyone who wants to do black hat stuff, knowing full well what the risks and the rewards are, then that's fine with me. I don't judge. It's not something I do anymore. I've just talked about plenty of times because for me, I still believe that now I want to build for the long term. And building for the long term means not doing anything that's going to make overtly risky in terms of getting all my hard work destroyed by a Google update or manual penalty or something like that. So with that disclaimer given, let's talk about cloaking. So what is cloaking in its simplest forms? Well, that is that you show Google one version of your website or web page and you show other people a different version. Why would you want to do this? For example, say you want to rank something and you want to Google to think it's really nice and clean and nice clean content, but it might not necessarily be content that's going to monetize very well or get people to take an action that you want them to that you might think Google might not like what the contents of the actual page you want to show people is. So I'll show them some really clean page with really clean content and hopefully rank based on that content because that's what Google and Googlebot will see. Then when people click to me from the search engine result pages, they'll get a different version which gets them to do something completely different, say. Google obviously doesn't like this because it wants to show people in the search engine results based on what they're actually going to see when they land there. Now that's essentially what cloaking is. So it's showing a different version of the site to Google than you show to everybody else. Now, the story, a black hat story. If we go back to the years of 2008, 2009, this was before I was very clean in what I do SEO. And one of the things that I was doing a lot at the time was buying expired domains to put content on to then link to mine and other people's websites. And, you know, it was not as black as it is now, say. It was more grey. But anyway, we knew that it was against terms of service, but at the time, Google just couldn't detect these kind of links. It wasn't sophisticated enough to detect that kind of link building. But it was one of those ones where if your competitors reported you and reported those links, Google would hand out manual penalties to people. So the key to doing that kind of work was you wanted to avoid a manual penalty so that you could just get on for the rest of your life and build the links like that. So we wanted to avoid being detected. How were people detecting links and reporting them back then? Well, they were using Clink reporting tools such as, I mean, the main ones were at the time Yahoo. You could get quite good backlink information out of Yahoo. And Moz, they had a backlink explorer. And I think was Majestic around back then. There was a few, but Yahoo and Moz were really the big ones. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to keep our links, and links we were building from this method, out of those tools, but available to Google. So what we did was we cloaked our entire websites, but rather than cloaking them against Google, we cloaked them against Yahoo and against Mars. I think it might have been SEMrush, the SEMrush bot. There was quite a few. Basically every bot other than Googlebot, we cloaked the site. So we did it in a few ways. We gave different versions of the robots.txt. So Googlebot saw very clean robots.txt that sort of allowed to go wherever it wanted, whereas we'd show everyone else a much more restrictive robots.txt. But we also didn't trust that some crawlers and bots would but respect our robots text. So we then would also cloak the entire site against any kind of bot. We also cloaked from the search engine results pages, because obviously you could at the time, like Google will give you some links. If you type link and a page in the search engine results, it would report some of the links you knew about. So we also cloaked anyone that came from a Google search results page to look at one of our pages. We would remove the links. We'd keep the content there, but we would remove the links. So we essentially used cloaking not to show Google something different to what we were showing most people, but it was just we're trying to show it, cloak it differently for those sites that could have found those links that would enable someone to have reported these networks of sites. This was basically PBNs at the time, public blog networks we were creating. And we used cloaking that way. On a technical level, the way cloaking works is it relies on interrogating the user agent for any request that's made to your web server. So you would use some software that would intercept every request that came to the web server, and it would look at the user agent. And if that user agent was Googlebot, then we'd do one thing. If it was different kinds of other user agents, we might make other decisions. And again, we'd also look at the referring URL. So if it was coming from Google, then we knew that someone had clicked in Google to find that, to come to this page, and we would then take actions depending on that. So you can cloak, say, on any information that really comes in that header. So that could be a referrer. It could be the user agent. And you would also look at the IP address, because obviously sometimes Google will check a page, check a site without using Googlebot as the header. At least that's what we believed. You know, it's been so long since I've done any of this stuff that I don't know whether Google still do that, or whether they did do that, or whether it was just our fear that they did that. But we actually also built a database of genuine Google IPs. So these are IPs addresses that we knew Googlebot used, and we also shared that with other people who were doing similar things. So we built up a database of IPs. So if we ever saw Googlebot come from an IP, and we used to do reverse IP lookups to see where they came from, because Google at the time, or probably still is, was only coming from IP addresses that are registered in Mountain View in California. So you could then go back and say, right, if any IP address that's come from Mountain View, we would treat as if it was Googlebot or Google, and would serve it that way. And this was our aim was also, if we've got any kind of manual review, that we would show a manual user from Google that this is what they were getting. So that's how you actually do it. So how do you detect if you're suspicious that a site might be cloaking? How can you, as a genuine, normal person, check this? Well, again, it's going to depend on how sophisticated they've done it. I've just given you a whole details of how we did it, and we went to quite a sophisticated level. A lot of places go slightly less sophisticated. They might just look for Googlebot being the user agent and not do any of the IP checks. And you can detect those by, if you can get a plugin for your browser, which allows you to change the user agent that you send, that Chrome sends when it makes requests to the web server. And they've got all sorts of choices, like Bingbot, Googlebot. You can just do some manual ones, or you can enter your own user string and change the user agent. So a lot of the time, if you find one of these, if you just change your user agent in Chrome to be Googlebot, you might find that a site would show you a different version, and that's how you can spot how they do it. But again, it all just depends on how far down the line of how sophisticated they've made their cloaking, how far they're going to try to detect whether it's true Googlebot or someone faking Googlebot before they'll actually show you the cloaked version. So yeah, so I hope that's been a sort of useful explanation. And as I say, all this stuff is completely against Google's terms of service. It's against all their guidelines. If you do this and get caught, you will get banned to high heaven. So I wouldn't suggest anyone does it. But I think it's important for people to understand how it does work, so that you can guard against it, so that you can see if anyone ever comes to you and says, we've got this fantastic technique and this is what we'll do, you can just say, no, I don't want to do that at all, and run for the high heavens. Or if your risk reward says, hey, I want to try all the things, then, you know, at least you will know the risks around doing it. And obviously, just to reiterate from my side, this is nothing that I've done since Penguin, basically, since Penguin killed all this for me. And it's not anything I've done for many, many years. So, you know, it's not a technique I'm using now, and it's definitely not a technique that I recommend. So, yeah, hope you find it useful. Before I go, I just wanted to let you know that if you'd like a personal demo of our tools that Keywords People use, that you can book a free, no obligation, one-on-one video call with me, where I show you how we can help you level up your content by finding and answering the questions your audience actually have. You can also ask me any SEO questions you have. You just need to go to keywordspeopleuse.com/demo, where you can pick a time and date that suits you for us to catch up. Once again, that's keywordspeopleuse.com/demo, and you can also find that link in the show notes of today's episode. Hope to chat with you soon. Thanks for being a listener. I really appreciate it. Please subscribe and share. It really helps. SEO is not that hard. It's brought to you by keywordspeopleuse.com, the place to find and organize the questions people ask online. See why thousands of people use us every day. Try it today for free at keywordspeopleuse.com. To get an instant hit of more SEO tips, then find the link to download a free copy of my 101 quick SEO tips in the show notes of today's episode. If you want to get in touch, have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. I'm at Channel 5 on Twitter. You can email me at podcast@keywordspeopleuse.com. Bye for now, and see you in the next episode of SEO is Not That Hard.